Kiddos, kindergarten to sixth grade, you guys can safely, calmly, and quietly make your way downstairs for children's church. Hey, they aren't running so bad today. That's good. I think you heard last week they're racing to get certain beanbag chairs or something like that. So it's prized. Hey, you know what? Whatever motivates them. Did anybody see their t-shirts? Yeah, they're really cool. If you didn't catch a kid after, see if you can catch a kid after worship and look at their shirt. It says Ledge Rock Kids, and it's really a neat looking shirt. And the idea is you bribe them with the shirt, and then they want to wear it and come back week after week and hear more about Jesus. So maybe I should get shirts for you guys. Ledge Rock Big Kids, we could say. All right, good morning, everybody. Good morning to all of you joining us online now, today, Sunday, and in the future, whatever day that may be. I'm glad, as I said earlier, glad that we get to do this together. I'm so glad that you guys are here. I see we're filling in odd rows and different things. We're doing the best we can as attendance starts to pick back up. We've got some snowbirds bringing snow with them as they come back. Yeah, Beth's like, sorry about that. We are too. But anyway, we got snowbirds coming back. We got folks that have been vaccinated coming back. We got folks that have had the virus coming back. So things are picking up. And through it all, God has always been good. He is faithful and just. Yeah. And so I'm glad you're here. I mentioned it in my announcements. I want to mention it real quickly. If anybody joining us online knows of a place a family can rent for about 3 weeks in May, 3 weeks to a month, as they get into their new home, they have to be here for work at the beginning of May, and they can take possession the beginning of June, roughly. So anyway, a place to rent for mom, dad, baby, and a dog of some sort. I think they said it's very well behaved and whatever, but anyway, that's the situation. Also, for females, we're looking for possibly a bedroom or a basement or something for a single woman that lives in Virginia and works here in Ely during the week, just a place to spend the night and then go to work the next day. So something like that. Again, see me afterwards, call the church if you have information you're watching online. So, all right, I've done my part. Let's see what the Lord does with all that. Speaking of folks moving to Ely, it was neat talking with the family from Idaho. The husband has gotten a job at one of the resorts here, and they have bought a home and are moving here to Ely, super excited about coming. They found our presence online and have watched sermons and would like to come and visit when they get here. So that's exciting. That's neat. Homes are selling all over the place. The day they're listed, the day before they're listed. Some wait 2 days until after they're listed and they're just selling. Why is that? Well, I know personally, I just love Ely. I love Ely. Ely is such a special place, such a magical place. You can walk out your door and walk into the wilderness. Lakes everywhere, trees, beautiful trees everywhere. If you've noticed out, there's birch trees. I love birch trees. Always been fascinated with birch trees. We have pine marten that live right here where we live. In fact, out at Rock Ridge, they've got one in a building. They're living together with a pine marten. So what a neat spot. You can grab a canoe. In fact, you're weird if you don't have a canoe or go paddling. I'm only kidding, but there are lots of canoes here. And you can grab a canoe, go out and get on a beautiful lake and catch smallmouth bass. One of God's greatest gifts to mankind. I'm even learning to love walleye. Maybe one of these days I'll catch a state record in Minnesota. I was only kidding the last couple of weeks when I said that I had caught a state record. I didn't. But you know what? Maybe this year. Maybe 2021 is the year. But the point is, lots of reasons to love Ely. Some other reasons are it's a small town. We're a very small, close-knit community, and Ely is extremely unique. Ely also is very isolated. We're very far away from any other city. You know, those of you that shop in Virginia know what I'm talking about, or go to Duluth, or heaven forbid, 4 hours to the cities or whatever. Ely is very isolated and consequently very, very quiet. Not everywhere in our country is like Ely. Ely is unique. Elia's special. Elia's very, very special. I had a difficult conversation. I mean, a good conversation, but my poor friend was in a difficult situation. I have a friend that's serving in a law enforcement capacity down in Minneapolis right now. He's been taken out of his normal environment and placed down there in a very difficult situation. Really, it's a lose-lose situation. And he shared with me, he's a believer, and he shared with me his great struggle with what's going on. It's a mess beyond what we can even fathom, and it's political. So there are some people that like don't want law enforcement, and some people do, and everybody's afraid to back each other up and support each other. And it's like the rioters are the priority, and everybody else, including law enforcement, are like on the back, but there's nobody knows what's right or what to do, or heaven forbid, how to do it. It's a very, very tense and difficult situation. And he was just heartbroken seeing how upside down the world is. Literally upside down. Right has become wrong, and wrong has become right. And there is division from the city level all through that structure to the state level to the national level. Everybody wants what they can get, and there's no cooperation, no support. It's very, very difficult. Division and hatred being shared and spread. That's dangerous. Rioting going on. Ely is special. We are so isolated and quiet and beautiful and wonderful. Not every place is like Ely. There's crisis going on all over our country. There's chaos and calamity, and then throw in the mix COVID and all the divisions that come along with that. And the world is upside down. Right is wrong and wrong is right, and we're afraid to move forward. And people, maybe not in Ely, maybe not you, but people are living in fear, living in worry and doubt, struggling with anxiety. Last week, we talked about how it is that we can defy death. We don't have to fear death. Today, we're going to look at fighting fear, how it is that you and I can wage war against worry or anxiety, how we can fight against fear. So we're in the 56th Psalm. The book of Psalms is almost in the center of your Bible. 56 comes right after Psalm 55. Miss Joanne's tracking with me. There you go. 56. We're in Psalm 56 today. Now, to quickly set the stage, the book of Psalms, amazing, very uplifting and encouraging in general. The book of Psalms is a book of poetry and songs and praise and worship, primarily written by David, some other authors as well, but a beautiful book that's encouraging to shout to the Lord and lift up who He is and praise Him for His protection. In this particular psalm, it's an amazing story. David had been anointed as king, but he wasn't serving as king yet. Saul was still the king of Israel. David was serving in the military, and Saul was jealous of David's popularity, David's success, lots of things. David, God's hand and spirit were upon David. God had removed that from Saul. Saul was in a mess, and so he was trying to kill David. Now, David at this point had killed a bear, he'd killed a lion, he'd even killed a guy named Goliath, if you've ever heard of him. Really tall, big guy. David was a very accomplished warrior, and he's running from Saul. He didn't want to kill King Saul, so he's running from him, and he goes and hides, and he finds himself in the Philistine camp. Well, if you remember Goliath was a Philistine. And here David's trying to hide for fear of his life, and he runs to the camp of the very warrior that he killed earlier, and he realizes, uh-oh, this isn't good. It's 1 Samuel, I think it's 21, is the account, if you like to take notes and go back and read it. And so what does David do? He acts crazy. He acts insane so that the king of the Philistines and the army don't kill him. They recognize this David. Isn't this David, the one that they shout and sing praises over? Isn't this him? But look at him, he's crazy. Just get out of our town. And so David, I'm sure he's smiling underneath his jewel-ridden beard as he walks out of the town unscathed and praises God for his protection. And he wrote this psalm about that experience. Some things we don't know, and that's okay. But he wrote about this experience. And so follow along with me. We're gonna go through verses 1 through 6 and then jump down 10 through the end of the chapter. Again, David writes, and he says, "Be gracious to me, God, for a man is trampling me. He fights and oppresses me all day long. My adversaries trample me all day, for many arrogantly fight against me. When I am afraid, I will trust in you, in God whose word I praise. In God I trust. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? They twist my words all day long. All their thoughts against me are evil. They stir up strife. They lurk. They watch my steps while they wait to take my life." Verse 10, "In God whose word I praise, in the Lord whose word I praise, in God I trust. I will not be afraid. What can mere humans do to me? I am obligated by vows to you, God. I will make my thank offerings to you, for you rescued me from death, even my feet from stumbling, to walk before God in the light of life." Join me in prayer. Oh, Lord God Almighty, we come before you this morning with joy in our hearts, knowing that you are a God that never takes your eyes off of us. In fact, you've shared that you will never leave us, abandon us, or forsake us, and that, Lord, no matter what we face, we can trust in you. And Father, I thank you for your word and this message, and I do pray that you speak boldly and clearly through me this morning and help remind all of us how it is that we can fight against fear. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And the whole church family said, amen. So the point to today's message is that every believer, born-again believer and follower of Jesus, can fight fear if we follow the example that David lays out here in this psalm. And maybe you're here and thinking, well, I'm not really afraid of anything. You could use this as an example to follow to wipe out worry or axe anxiety. As long as the words start with the same letters, you can do it. Fight fear, defeat death, axe anxiety, wipe out worry. It's all the same thing. We don't have to fear. All right, first couple verses. Look at the reality of what David was talking about. He says, "Be gracious to me, O God." Why be gracious? "For a man is trampling me. He fights and oppresses me all day long." Verse 2, "My adversaries trample me all day, for many arrogantly fight against me." Boy, Ely is a glorious burg. We're alone in the trees, alone up here in the middle of the woods, millions upon millions of acres. Ely is special and so quiet and isolated, and that's why houses are selling at alarmingly fast rates, record rates. Just properties are going because people want to come and live here. That's why they want to come. People realize through COVID that they can work remotely, that they can do their job from a beautiful place like this. So why live in the cities where there's rioting and chaos and calamity? Ely is such a special burg, but other places are not like Ely. I know this message isn't just, it's not, we can't relate particularly some of us, but there are folks all around that can relate very much. Other places are not like this, and people are physically suffering. People are physically being attacked and assaulted. Did this ring any bells? "Be gracious to me, God, for a man is trampling me, fighting against me, oppressing me, chasing me down, just trying to trample and fight all day long." Some people are truly physically being endangered right now as we speak. Maybe not in Ely yet. We don't know what the future will hold. Maybe not right now. Maybe it's not you. Maybe you're not in danger. Maybe there's no one that's trampling you and chasing you down and watching where you come and go, watching your footsteps, wanting to ambush you. Maybe not you right now. Maybe not yet. maybe physically, you and I aren't in danger of someone coming at us with a brick or throwing things through the windows of our church as we gather to worship. Maybe we're not physically in danger yet. We don't know, but many people are. David was. Here's David. Remember, the guy that had slain a lion and a bear protecting his sheep and then just gone right out in the name of God to face the champion of champions of the mighty Philistine army with a sling and a couple of rocks. David had conquered anything that anyone that came before him, and here he's writing the psalm, "Be gracious to me, God, protect me, God, because people, men, armies, nations, my king, they're coming after me, trampling me and trying to oppress me." Maybe physically we can't relate, but what about emotionally? Have we been hurt or scared or stepped on emotionally or mentally or spiritually? Can we relate on a different level to what David and our brothers and sisters and friends are facing all around the country? There's always been plenty of things to fear. Since the fall in the Garden of Eden, the original sin and the mess that created, the darkness, the nightmare, the death that created, there's always been plenty of things to fear. If you want to fear, there's long lists of things to fear. There's always been things to worry about, to stress over, to be anxious over. Jesus reminded us, in this life, right now, you will have troubles. The reality is that many people are facing big issues, facing physical danger, emotional, mental, and spiritual danger. The reality is, it's all around us, all around our country. Ely's kind of special. So what's the right response in the midst of the reality that we live in? What do we do about that? Because that's reality. Well, I love David's response, verses 3 and 4. This is the right response in the midst of the reality that we live in. Verse 3, David says, "When I am afraid, I will trust in you. In God, whose word I praise, in God I trust, I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me?" Man, I love this response. I love this, the right reaction in the midst of the reality of a fallen, broken world going on all around him at that point and us here today. I love this response because honestly, in our flesh, sometimes we don't want to respond in a godly way. Sometimes in our flesh, we want to lash out. Sometimes in our flesh, we want to yell back, to fight back, to say very mean things, to hurt that person that just hurt us. We want other people to hurt them as well. And I love David's response. It's the right reaction. It's the right response. It's a godly response. David arrive at this? How can you and I, when we face the reality that we're living in, how can we have a right response as well? The right reaction. Well, notice David made a purposeful decision at this point in his life, a purposeful decision to trust God, not an emotional reaction. That's the secret. Purposeful decision to trust in God, not an emotional reaction. Our emotions go up and down. They change a little bit. Father of four kids, husband of a wife, I live emotions going up and down all the time. Purposeful decision to trust in God, not emotion-based response. To trust in God, what's that mean? It's a dependence upon God. Turning to and looking to and saying, "God, I can't, but God, I know you can." That's a dependence upon God. Faith that God will deliver you around the problem, from the problem, or maybe right through the problem. But that whatever you face, God will go through it with you. The right response. response is turning to and trusting in God, that purposeful decision, saying, God, in you I put my trust. How did David know to trust the Lord? Verse 4, he says, in God, whose word I praise. David knew God. He knew the Lord. He walked with the Lord. In fact, the Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart. They were connected. They had a relationship. But David knew God's word. David knew the word of God, the very breath of God, the words spoken from God, which are alive and active and sharper than any double-edged sword, the word of God that is useful for leading and teaching and correcting and training in righteousness, that we can know Him. David says, I praise you, God, and your word. It's you that I trust and I know and love you because of your very word, your breath. You're revealing yourself to me in your word. For you and I to have the right reaction when we face the reality of what we're looking at all around the world, we need to know God and then know His word. Look at the next part of verse 4. Well, and I'll read the whole thing. In God, whose word I praise, in God I trust, I will not be afraid. As you and I learn to know who God is, we learn who He is through His word. As we experience Him in our daily lives, we do life together with our God, we learn that we can trust Him. We learn that we can lean upon Him. We learn that He is more than sufficient to handle anything that we can face here on this earth. The more we know Him, the more we trust Him. The more we know and trust Him, the less we fear. The less we worry. The less stressed out we are. In God, whose word I praise, in God I trust. I love this purposeful statement. I will not be afraid. Get this. What can mere mortals do to me? I love that one. What can mere mortals do to me? The more we know Him, the more we trust Him, the more we realize we don't have to fear men. We've already defeated death through the resurrection of Jesus. We don't have to fear death. We can fight fear itself because of who our God is. Don't fear man. Don't fear the person that can only take your body. Fear God that can take both your soul and your body. What can mere mortals do to us? Man, wouldn't that change everything? If we had no fear of people, what they say and what they do. I picture Stephen as he was getting stoned, looking to heaven, asking for forgiveness for those that were killing him. And what a picture. Don't fear mere mortals. Fear and love and trust God. It's the right response to the reality, but that's not the only reality that we're facing. Look at the next couple verses, 5 and 6. Look at this reality. They twist my words all day long. All their thoughts against me are evil. They stir up strife. They lurk. They watch my steps while they wait to take my life. Maybe no one in here has been physically endangered during any of the rioting. Maybe the rioting. Maybe we can't relate to that. Maybe it'll never, ever happen in Ely. I hope not. Enough of you are carrying guns. I don't think there's going to be a lot of rioting here. More people every day. Maybe we can't relate to the physical danger that they were in, but wow, almost everyone can relate to these words. Almost everybody can relate to what's going on here. They twist my words all day long. Have you heard of this thing called technology? Technology and the culture that we live in today. Post everything we do, what we eat for breakfast, who we ate it with, what we thought about that. We post it all on social media. We tweet it, we Instagram it, we photograph it. It's there forever, forever and ever. And then there are people all over the world that want to criticize us for what we ate, and how we ate it, why we ate it. We shouldn't have eaten it. Don't you know that's bad? I like this. Fights erupt. Waffles versus pancakes. That's no compare. Waffles all the way. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
We live in a world full of technology where everything we say will be archived and recorded for decades, and people twist those words and then oppress us and confront us and attack us. It's the culture we live in. In fact, have you heard of this cancel culture situation going on? If you stand on an issue and there are businesses or organizations or groups of people that don't like that, they can block you and remove any credibility, any influence you had. It's called a cancel culture. Whole groups of businesses and like-minded people blocking whole groups of other people and what because they think differently. Cancel culture. My words are twisted all day long. More and more every day we're seeing this. We're living in a world where we may not be physically in danger right here in Ely right now, but boy, are we in danger technologically, culturally, social media-wise, more and more every day. Evil is prowling around like a roaring lion, looking for you, brother and sister, so that he can devour you. All of us, especially me, have to be so mindful of what we say and how we say it. Now, everything I say is recorded and cast out to hundreds upon hundreds of people all over the country and possibly the world forever. Forever. I know I've had some people send me an email. I heard you say this. I don't like that or understand that or whatever. And we can go back and listen and misunderstood, misquoted, mistaken, gossip, slander. It's all over. It's all around us. It's a sad reality. So what do we do? It's the reality that we live in. What do we do about it? What's the right response to the reality that we live in? I'm glad you asked and want to know. Verse 10. In God, whose word I praise, in the Lord, whose word I praise, in God I trust. I will not be afraid. What can mere humans do to me? What's the right reaction, our right response when we face the reality of people being harsh and critical to us? Probably not to our face, but online, through emails and social media and whatever. What do? Lean on Scripture. Lean on our understanding of who our God is as He's spoken a message of His story directly to us. Lean on Scripture. Praise the Lord. Walk with the Lord. Trust in Him. Trust in Him. Turn to Him. Cry out to Him. Shout to the Lord and then let Him fight for you. Let Him fight your battles for you. Verse 11, in God I trust, I will not be afraid. The more we know Him, the more we trust Him, the less we fear. Do not fear. Fight against fear. What can mere humans do to me? We don't fear humans. We don't fear mankind. And I love this godly biblical example that David lays out for us. If you and I adopt this same mentality, just trusting in God and turning to Him, loving the Lord and loving others, what's that lead to in our lives? Verse 12, he says, I am obligated. I've made an obligated vow to you, O God. I'm obligated by vows to you, God. I will make my thank offerings to you. For you rescued me from death, even my feet from stumbling, to walk before you, O God, in the light of life. This type of biblical godly mindset leads to thank offering to our God as our fortress, as our deliverer, as our protector, as our rock upon which we can build our very foundation. It leads to a life of thankfulness and praise and worship. Do you know where you're at? And do you know why you are here? The reality is, we are living in a country, in a world that is upside down. Wrong is right, and right is now wrong. It's crazy, it's chaotic, there's crisis, and COVID all over, all around us. And if not right now, if not already, soon, each of us, in our own special, unique ways, will face the reality of this fallen, broken world right in our laps. Whether physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, through technology, or right in our own homes, we will face the reality of this upside down world. And so how will we respond? What will we do in the midst of all of that? Do we live in fear? Do we live in worry, letting worry and anxiety overwhelm us? Or do we turn to and trust in the Lord? Come to Jesus. Give your life to Him. Turn away from your sins. In your heart of hearts, cry out and confess that Jesus is Lord. Allow Him to save you, to indwell you, and be made a brand new creature. Let Him fill you with His peace, and then no matter what we face, you and I can respond with that purposeful decision to love God and praise Him because of who He is and His Word, rather than allow an emotional response to take over. In that, you and I can fight fear, we can wipe out worry, and we can axe anxiety. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your Word and for this very, very timely message as we see the world just crumbling around us, and it makes us pause and shake our heads and think, what will happen next? How can this possibly be? And Lord, we know that through it, You are the ultimate answer, that a right, revived, growing relationship with You is the only hope that any of us have. And so, Lord, we thank You that You're a God that sees this, that knows this, that loves us, cares and protects us. Father, I pray that each of us would grow in our level of faith, that we can trust You and allow You to fight our battles for us, that we can have the right response in the midst of the tragic reality that we live in. Lord, we love You. We seek to serve You in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand together.